go buy the money.
We skipped over before you got here was a goat plan for this winter and for ongoing next year. And Linda told me that somebody had called from the forest wanting to know.
Yeah, Evan Bushell. I'll tell you what I think. I brought this up last time. During the summer, I would rather use the spring that comes down there over in Slide Canyon, and maybe even use the one that's there and get a solar pump on it and keep the goats over on that side. I mean, that's, you want to talk about our steepest and most densest foliage for fire, it's over there. But
yeah,
over here, the other thing is with guests coming and going, and I mean, we had two of them hit by cars this year over here.
There's fewer people over there, too.
Yeah. In the summer, this is where they should be in the off-season, because they do their best work in the off-season when the snow covers all the grass, forces them to the bushes, and that's what we're after is the bushes. And so this fall, we'll put in solar fences and concentrate them in our where we do our lemon trim. As soon as they get the crud off of the trees, we'll lemon trim to where Earl told us we had to the distance. Not quite. I mean, he wants 100 feet clear cut all the way around the thing, and we're not going to do that. But we will lemon trim and clean it up as best we can without making it ugly. And then next spring, instead of going this way, we'll go up Broad Hollow and into Slide, and then work off that spring and Slide throughout the summer, and then in the fall bring them back here and do the same thing. Hit what has grown that summer and take the early growth up.
How many goats are you talking about?
There's 300 moms and the babies will be sold, so there'll be, you know, depending on our coal, just under 300 now. We're trying to build it as fast as we can, but I don't want to buy any more goats because they get pink eye, this ranch, whatever it has. The moment we buy a new goat, I've tried it two or three times, they go blind. And the ones that are here have the resistance because they all went blind when they got here. And so now the babies aren't affected by it, but I just don't really want to buy it, bring any more new blood in. It'll take a long time, but you know what? The whole point is we have a fire program that keeps the BLM off our back. We don't have to have a billion goats. We just have to have goats and say we're working on it.
Well, and I wondered with the forest guys kind of getting bent out of shape, if they, I mean, I thought they wanted, they were kind of participating in this, the fire.
No, they lease them from me. They want to lease them from me and take them over to our neighbors, Bryce Woodlands.
Yeah.
But it costs them $1,000 a day to lease them. And they want to do it in the spring when they're hitting the new growth rather than in the fall when they're just going to take the leaves. You know, they want to spend the money the best way they can, but that's the Department of Natural Resources. This is the Forest Service. And what they were worried about is every year they come in to check how the boundaries have gone. And we have a couple of members that won't be here next year that continue to leave the gate open and refused to close it, said they wouldn't close it. And it was letting the cattle up on. It wasn't as much the goat issue was when Evan came down, the gate was locked and the goats were right there. And he says, I'm worried that they're going to go up on the thing. And I says, well, go put a chicken spring right there. That's the closest water and meadow. Try and find it. For whatever reason, I was worried about it too, but the goats have no interest in going up, which is weird for a goat. They took that little tiny bit of rose hips right by the gate, but they just don't. I don't know if they look at the pink cliffs and don't want to do it. I don't know. It's been really good. I thought we'd be fighting them all year.
I don't think any ever got to chicken spring, did they?
No. That's what I told them. I said, go up
three or four times I went up.
Because I go up there to think, you know, are they straying up? They have a little migration route and they go up past the Ortolani's cabin, come down through this stuff. They hit right about here and they go back up. And every night they're at the enclosure and they're like pigeons more than sheep. They're very funny little animals. But they've never tried to go up. So we're blessed. Yeah, he called and said, are you worried about it? I said, I've been worried about it all year, but they have never done it. So what do you do? Good for us.
Worst come to worst, all you need to do is put some wire across that area. And
no, I'll just go up and a few times tell them no. I mean, they as a group pay attention where they don't want any trouble, you know.
Uh-huh.
If you have them in a yard and you have a fruit tree, you couldn't keep them out of there with a stick if you sat there all day. But when they have other options, all you have to do is let them know that that's not comfortable. I have a dog that punishes them pretty hard. And a couple of times of that, and they don't want to go.
This place is off limits.
Yeah. Maru puts her teeth on them. they remember it a long time.
I noticed a small group in the little Bologna Canyon.
Yeah. Well, what happened, I dumped the bucks out 2 or 3 days ago. They all summer long haven't left each other's sides. I put the bucks in, and I was starting to, we breed them in fields, so it's not like this open range. This buck took this bunch, this buck took, and they just don't know each other. And it's, I mean, the last 2 or 3 days, I'm thinking, COVID-19, the other day, this normally says, oh yeah, he says the biggest buck will take the biggest charge, or the most powerful buck.
And well, they can round up like deer.
A little wiener buck will have 3 or 4 girlfriends and be glad to get it, so.
Before the end of the year, I need to have a list of all the brochures and things. I've got to not wait until Christmas time, because if you guys can give me a list, because I have June's, but that's all I have. I need to know who you all took out. You said Kendra was keeping that.
Well, she did for a while, but I gave you a couple of lists of the ones during the summer.
Just that June, that's all.
You don't have the earlier ones? I don't know. I haven't taken very many horse rides since.
Well, if you can
write,
supposed
to take one today, but I'm
if you can write your list,
had a scout troop that went deer hunting and ended up with 2 people, and they skinned 10 horses. I told them last night that I have a board meeting tomorrow, and I can't really skip that for 2
people. 2 horse rides. Okay, tell us real quick before you leave about your deer hunter experiences.
You know, I didn't expect it to be like that. I heard it was bad.
I think we should invest in a
bulletproof vest.
I'm telling you what, I just don't understand why people get so mean. They really gave the little root fellow a lot of trouble, threatened him. He had a key and he wouldn't let him through. He was holding the key and he's only this tall, you know. And the hunter said, you let us in here, you know, you don't have any right to keep us out. He says, I just told not to let anybody in. Anyway, they got verbally abusive. He came down to pick up to the headquarters, but the guys we caught here 2 or 3 nights ago just flat told us, we aren't leaving. You can't make us. And he called me an effing lots of things. And
was
that the guy right there?
Almost there. I'm just giving the hunter.
You have Sharky here with you?
Nope, it's on the hook at home. Are we locked out or something?
I need to get the generator Johns off the pole.
It's on there.
How big is the chain?
Cut the frame.
I've got a bolt cutter in the white band right between the 2 seats. Just take 1 link off the chain.
I think that scene sets a very bad example, but I'll do that.
I got bolt cutters in my truck. I always carry that master key.
Start calling you Art or Lonnie. That's what he said. Didn't he tell you, hey, I'll cut that lock off?
He's got no less. Where are the hunters coming in from? Past the ranch? Well, this is the problem we had with this bunch last night, or the last day of the hunt. Those were my days off, but I knew it was going to be tight because people who haven't been successful are going to cheat the last couple of days, so I just decided to stay here. And we put out 4 hunters, all of them trying to sneak on, but the one group had a camp set up. Had 4 wheeler trailers.
It was right down here by the pond.
Right by the water spigot.
Right?
Yeah. And I said, have you got a Deer Springs permit? And he says, I got a pond stump permit. I said, I understand that. I said, but this is private ground. Have you got a Deer Springs permit? And he said, yeah, I got one more. And I says, show it to me. And he says, show me that you're an effing game warden and I'll show it to you. And I says, I'm the ranch manager, and I can put you in jail for criminal trespass. And show me your dadgum paper. And he said, I'm going to have to deal with you. And he starts to walk off. I just backed my van around, my big Harley van that I got. I looked so emanating in my little white van. Anyway, I backed it around, and I said, well, sir, that's a poor attitude to take. And I put my lights on his license plate. And he said, you want to see my plate? Grouse, you tell me. He goes, look at him, weapon back. And the other guys kept pulling it. He just went out of his mind. And I just looked at it. It was 751 DBG. And I said, you guys have a good evening? I said, we'll send someone up to help you. I went down to Brent and called the sheriff and said, you know, they refuse to leave. They're becoming aggressive. I mean, the only other alternative is to jump out and have an issue that gets us in question.
Right, you did well.
Well, plus I got phone from Horse Day before, and I came back. He didn't know that I drive my business. Anyway.
Did you put your chest down a little?
Yeah. Well, I got more aggressive than I wanted to be out of habit. But anyway, the trouble is, by the time we call 911 and send the sheriff out, it takes the travel time out here and anybody who can gather their stuff. So I went down and shut the gate here so they couldn't get out. And that gate was shut so they couldn't get out. And I mean, I wasn't going to hold them against their will, but I was just going to tell them, you know, we need to wait until the sheriff gets here to sort through this. Because the real big issue, it's not that terrible, because the meadow, there wasn't anything in the meadow. They weren't actually hunting, but they were fixing to. But if you do nothing, they go down to the coffee shop, and they tell everybody, you can go to Deer Springs anytime you want, because nobody's going to do anything.
Exactly.
So we need to send a message that we're not going to put up with stuff, or we'll, next year we'll have twice that many.
Yep.
So I said to Brent, I said, we need to make it as difficult for these guys as we possibly can, because there were seven hunters, grown hunters there, plus some of their kids. And I said, it's going to, whatever we do is going to spread. We have to show them that there's a presence up here and that you can't just hunt on Deer Springs, right? So they went out either Crawford or Slide. I sent Brent back up here while I went down to, I had to man the phone because they said, we'll be in contact with you. Shut the gate, and he came up, and they went up out one of these roads, probably the road they came in on, because I didn't see him come up. And I stop everybody during hunting season. If I don't know the vehicle, I just stop them. And in a lot of cases, they've been good. The chief of police I had to stop shot right on the ranch. And
by our property.
He says, I'm the chief of police of Connect.
So?
I said, okay. I said, it's all about jurisdiction, isn't it? And he looked at me pretty hard. Yes. I said, that's your jurisdiction. This is mine. You can't hunt me. And he gave him one of those looks like, I better not catch you and can have you. But I said, you can't hunt here. I'm sorry. I said, but what I've done with everybody, I said, Larry Clarkson heads up our hunting committee. I says, all you have to do is get a piece of paper from him that says I've spoken to him and that he's permitted to hunt here, and come get me and we'll take you out and we'll let you hunt here, because we have to let two on anyway, don't we? And I said, the answer is yes, but you got to have a permit. And obviously that means it's no to everybody but two. But it's better for relations to say yes, just do it the right way, because then they don't come back unless they really are serious and come and get with you.
Did the one guy come to find you to get a key?
Uh-huh. He gave him a key.
One you talked to, yeah,
he came through and he brought the key back. He's very nice. And if they'll do that, it's no problem. Yeah. He wasn't hunting on the ranch. He just wanted to get there and he couldn't get there any other way. I said, we're happy to let you go through. But, you know, I touched that little police station. I have a plastic police station. I tie the key to so you can't lose it. You can't misplace it. And they brought it back. Everything went well. But the people that we have sent off, I mean, Brent chased 75 miles. He put on his swerve chasing two rigs one night that were hunting in this meadow and then blazing out of here. And then one guy came off the ranch. I wasn't here. I was up here moving cows, and Joe McElroy and Jerry Racine both passed him taking a big buck. They said it was big, and they don't know how big, because they don't know what a big buck is. They said it was really big, on his four-wheeler, right out of the ranch. And they said he was on a kind of a camouflage four-wheeler, and I didn't see him. They didn't stop him. I said, why don't you pull in front of him? I mean, if he's coming off our ranch, it wasn't, you know, at least, you know, find out where he took it and what was going on. But it's not their job. I mean, I stop people because I'm the ranch ranger, but any member can stop anybody at any time and say, what are you doing? You know, who are you?
Right.
And as soon as we get those little tags that hang in the windows,
we got to work on that.
If I have something I can identify, blazed orange or whatever, and I know, I won't even stop them. But if I don't know them, I have to assume they're here without a reason, and I stop them. And it takes a lot. I mean, some days you stop three or four. Sometimes you don't see anybody. But this hunting season is just...
It's crazy.
And they don't give a flying...
I know we've been talking about the longest time of locking things up and handing out keys. Even for that.
Well, why can't we put big orange signs up that say no hunting? Do they not...
They ignore it.
Probably found out in the past, but for locks, gates get loosened, and then they... Or members, it causes the problem.
Yeah.
They'll go up the canyon... Oh, I'll be back in a half hour. I'll leave the gate open.
Well, that happens.
So they need the gate open, so 100. Well, the gate's open. Let's be all right. So they come in, And then next month, the guy...
And now it's open all the time.
No.
Well, they all lock in.
They're locked in. There's been more people break out of the ranch than break in.
And it does.
The majority of them are innocent, but you get a few like this that's pretty brazen.
That happened this year with somebody staying here in the cabin and went out and unlocked the gate.
Right. And I've had to come up and let some people in because they've had friends and they say come down this way and they get stuck behind the gate. But what we had happen this year was really strange, and I'm sure it was those hunters that abused the fellow over the fence. They locked us in. They went and got their own chain and their own lock and locked us in. Like, if you won't let us in, we won't let you out. And the guy came down, and he says, well, we used our key, but you've put another chain on there, so I don't put anything on it. Went up there, brand new chain, brand new lock. Somebody just out of spite come down and locked us in.
I can see that.
So luckily they didn't use case
cards. That'd be chain. Probably a local.
I tore it off of there, but whoever it was, it cost them a chain and a lock to say what they had to say. Yeah. But anyway, just in 1 2-week season, can you imagine all that drama?
Yeah.
1 2-week season, and it was just like, it was like a brawl up here over that darn gate.
Well, you know what? I vote that we ought to buy a game warden uniform and give it to Ole.
Well, that might be dangerous.
And a
shot.
Might as well put the bullseye
on. I'm a game warden on that fellow because, you know, you're... testosterone instinct is to jump out and kick him in the guts and say, look, mind your manners on our rent. But all I said is that's a poor attitude to take, sir.
We're proud of you.
And I took his license plate and I thought, I mean, we know who he is. And what we have to decide is what we want to do from here, because they didn't come out and catch him here, at which point they'd say, you fill out a report and then say, do you want to press charges? But what I would like to do is, the sheriff's department knows who he is because of his license plate. I'd like to send a message, you know, have him go talk to him, say, we're out a couple of horses right now. Now, I know that it's probably our friends that just left's fault because they've turned I have a very beef, but that's going to go away because they're going to go away. But,
Well, are these members that you're talking about? Then you know what?
It's been closed all summer long.
No, but
never
here.
It was open.
And if you can prove that, then maybe what you got to do is assess the rocks or something for damages.
Well, I know this.
I thought you said that.
They better complain.
The gate was open. I thought, that's strange. It hasn't been open.
Yeah, they've got license plate.
And I was thinking it must have been them, but they're not.
I just learned today.
I went up there and guess what? They just got to
find out from somebody.
They lie about it every time and they don't do anything about it.
Only who was the name on the license plate?
Oh, I don't know.
751DVD.
Oh, I thought you had a name.
Oh. No, they know.
Sheriff.
I gave them the license plate.
Oh, damn it.
No, if it's possible to press, I would, considering how dangerous.
Well, what I'd like to do is say, look, we have right now missing livestock. If we find one with a bullet in its neck, I'm going to be real upset. But until I have proven better, they're going to be liable for being on this ranch unauthorized for anything that happened on this ranch while they were here. That night just happened to coincide with
when
the night when they came
left
in.
The gates open.
But I don't. You know what? Until that's sorted out, those rascals' heads are on the block, and they're going to have to realize you come on property without permission, you're liable for whatever happened. They went out a way that was not either one of our egresses, which means they had to use that gate or Crawford. If they used that gate and left it open and those horses are gone because of them, I'm sore. I'm missing 8 horses and there's no sign of them anymore.
Hmm.
So anyway. End of my report. The hunting season was terrible. And hopefully next year it'll be better.
The fact that he threatened you.
Oh, I don't sweat that.
No, I know you don't, but
he was aggressive. I told him at the.
Well, when you got people that are armed and are threatening you, that's.
Well, my brother had a harsh shot
situation,
basically right out from underneath him during a deer hunt.
Wow.
Well, it's funny. The hunters, they must get in that mode. I don't know what it is that makes them that aggressive. I couldn't think of being on somebody else's ground and then pitching a fit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bad place to start a fight is when you're already breaking the law.
Well,
but when you talk to them, they act like they just hate your cats. And I'm so nice. I hold up, I says, what are you guys doing? How's things going? You know where you're at, if you got a map, you know, just kind of let them know. Because we've had a lot that have come on here accidentally that are from out of state, they come, and if they say, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot, I don't say a word. I say, there's a good place to hunt over here, down Park Wash, that's on the monument. It's a good water place to look. And I tell them Billy Springs. They can, that's not on us. It's on our allotment, but it's not on our private ground. I said, that's an excellent place. There's water there. Watch it morning and evening. You're welcome to hunt. But you can't hunt on a private ground, and they're happy for the information, and they leave.
Basically, can't camp on it.
But these guys that are on our private ground that pitch a tent like that, there's just only one way to deal with them, and that's get somebody in authority, because as a ranch, I don't want to, you know...
You don't want to do anything more than maybe take a picture of their setup and their license plate.
I took their license plate, description of their truck, call them. They came right out, but, you know, it's a two-hour turnaround. By the time they get their guy called, stop doing what he's doing and headed out, and almost every time they're going to be gone, because they knew when I took his plate, they were packing up stuff.
If they know that you're doing that and that gets rid of them, that served its purpose. Do you think anything else would help? Do you think putting up more signage or anything else would help you?
We got tons of signs.
So do you think
on every day they're not here because they
accident?
I was told he knew it was the last day of the hunt. He hadn't had any luck, and he wanted to come on here and take an easy buck out of our meadow. That's why.
I was told close to 30 years ago that there's generations that come up here to hunt, and you're not going to stop them with signs. You're not going to stop them with gates, locks, or anything like that.
No, just run them off.
It's family tradition.
When we head up to
their place, even though they don't own it.
Grandpa hunted here. My dad hunted here. I'm hunting here.
Anybody got a cell phone here that works?
Hey, cell phone works on that stair right there.
No reason.
Mine,
but you gotta stand on your left leg, no, not the right leg.
You stand on the stair, it works.
Mine, I've got an antenna on my truck, and it might do better.
Yeah, you
got
good.
An antenna.
I hate to bother you. They just launch flighted my brother to Salt Lake. He got thrown from a horse yesterday. They said it wasn't bad, but obviously it's worse than he thought. He's got one in the truck. I appreciate it.
I do like
it. Good news. Now, horses.
Marion, just for drills, try and call mine to see if it works.
If you stand on the stair there, that's where mine works.
I was thinking, can't you go right up here on top of the, where you start off the hill?
Well, upstairs you can get reception fine. In all of the cabins, actually. We've tried all four of them, and if you're upstairs, it's just something about being a little bit higher.
Yeah, off the four way there, good luck to you. That always tells you can drive out the road, out to nowhere.
Right.
Up to that point right there, and you really get good reception.
It's good there.
How did Wayne come up with that deal? Did those guys get charged for shooting his horse?
They paid for the horse, but that was it.
That was a deliberate thing, too.
I would consider that assault, really.
Oh, yeah. Think about it. I had the gun just like this. You know, if I've got a gun, my brother's Linda, just like that, you know.
I'd press charges for assault.
The first guy I shot in Vietnam was pretty hard, but man, it got easier. Then I really wanted to do it.
Holy cow.
Oh, geez.
Probably never left the States.
Yeah. No. No, and I wouldn't want Ole to be in put in.
No, I say it's not worth it. It is not worth it.
As long as he just lets him know, I'm writing down your stuff. We'll take care of you. Thank you. Bye. And hopefully that'll get the idea on the
actually,
lead.
John,
the
I'm
lead,
in
the
inside,
lead.
Right there on the left.
Oh, really?
On the
right there on those stairs. Well, yeah. He's outside on the stairs.
That's where we called our daughter from last night. On the landing.
It was analog, and the analog service still works.
Until they shut that down.
Well, these people take their hunting pretty
right
serious.
There. Over towards the wall.
I don't understand why they're having problems on the septic system, okay? Because even if it's not getting used, if they flush yeast in that, you get that chemical reaction going in that, and it's supposed to break that up. So I don't understand why, you know,
Was a treatment put in
there? Even if it doesn't get used.
Treatment for
the
what?
The treatment does. Let me tell you something, because I went
to
school.
Septic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did all four.
Those treatments don't work. Because I went to all the classes on that stuff, okay? And it does not break down that barrier. That's a waste of money. Mm-hmm. That Red X or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the state about that, and that stuff doesn't do any good.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you got yeast in there, you get that chemical reaction. But you got to have water in there once in a while.
And that's
so
that
might be
the
problem
with
drying up
there. Okay.
I think that's the problem with four, because we don't, it like was maybe 8 or 10 times that it was used this summer.
Okay.
And so,
see, when you open those up, it's supposed to be pinkish, the foam is, okay?
Yes.
And then that's a good active system in that. Some of these you don't have to pump out. If you got the right reaction going through there.
They'll go through.
Yeah.
See, I know our house on the hillside, we never, ever had ours pumped.
That's true.
And we had, you know, big family, because I think that love is just the volume, I guess, going through it.
Yeah.
I think
that's. And also when Brett and I had to clean out the ranch house down there, I mean, it was about that much thick, hard stuff on top that.
On top, and I think that's what happened with number four. It just got hard. Because I treated
it. It gets crusty, and so that's what. You know,
no, I mean, the pump was done there. I mean, it took a shovel.
Yeah, to break it up, I know.
Taking a shovel to clean the septic out.
Bless your heart, that would
that's
be
a crappy job.
It was a crappy job.
Oh, gosh.
It's a horse job, though, was finding the stupid thing.
Some of you may not realize, because some of the things weren't happening with the cabins. Let me just fill you in a little bit. Terry and I worked on 2, 3, and 4 to get mice out of, because they were really bad in 2 and 3. And we spent a couple of weeks up here, a night at a time, two times a week. Four nights we spent up here. That's when the only time you know where the mice are.
Is at
night. Is at night, yeah. And we pretty well conquered the problem. I think we've got another mouse in number 2. I just went down.
Yeah, I got Ollie's number right now.
Are you doing blocks or what are you doing?
Ollie?
To get rid of him.
Trap
connected right here.
Steel wool.
What's the bleach? Now, I haven't heard of the bleach.
The bleach, they don't have a trail if you've got bleach. Bleach is to keep me safe, too.
Yeah,
so that's what the bleach is for. But the
steel wool. They don't have a tail.
Trail. They can't smell their trail where another mouse went.
Right now.
Okay.
And it keeps me safe.
Right.
That kills everything.
When mice run, they pedal.
Right. Exactly.
And which is awful. That's an awful thing to think of, but anyway.
Well, and that's where the hantavirus is. If it's there, I don't think they have it on this mountain, because if they did, I would have it by now.
Yeah.
But anyway, we also went through and put steel wool in and great stuff and caulks and, I mean, just every hole we could find. Plumbers will hate us. Every hole we could find, we filled up. And I think it's pretty well done. But while we were there also, I like to go to the thrift shop and DI and stuff like that. And I have gotten curtains and put curtains up and pictures and like plates. We've got, this is kind of a Indian thing here, and I have found some plates at the thrift shop, and they know me, and so they give them to me for like $2 or $3 for a set of plates, you know. And we've just been putting things in cabins, filling, getting things like that as we go along to make sure that these chairs are sitting on. And we upholstered them at the end of last year, and it's just, you know, a lot of little things like that that we've been doing at the cabins. I have blinds for the garden cabin that I've already bought, but there's people in there, so we haven't gone through, and some curtains for that too. I'm hoping to come out in November and stay in one of the cabins right after somebody else has stayed in there before they have to winterize it again, and then we'll put those things up and finish off probably in November, maybe have to go to January, finish off some of the supplies that I bought. This is something along those lines. Oh, I don't see it. Where did I put it? It's a plastic bucket here. It's got stuff in it. Well, there it is. Okay. At the thrift shop.
Well, Linda, let me tell you, mice are drawn by water, too. If you had like a deal of water,
yes,
this tub right here,
uh-huh,
they'll get in there and they'll drown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
metal, your big steel salad bowls,
mm-hmm,
they're
perfect.
Slick.
Yeah.
Fill out with water and
set
it out. Man, they're going to be loaded with mice.
Yeah.
Really?
The only way they get out is they drown one, and the next one drowns one, and by the time they ground 5 or 6, they can get on top of the pile and jump out.
Wow. Well, I didn't know about that. I'll know that next time. Anyway, I've gotten supplies like this. A lot of the cabins have wire where people can hang a lantern, and these are just some hooks you can put in there. I changed out a bunch of little nitpicky things that you don't really notice, but it makes the cabin look nicer. We've taken the ones that we stayed in when we worked on mice. That's my light. This glows in the dark.
High tech.
Yeah, that's put that in my table. Anyway.
High tech lantern.
Yeah, it works pretty good. I learned that with all the power outages in Canada. Anyway, we take Old English and go over all the furniture And just in general, make it look nicer, you know, since we're there anyway. So.
Now that's nice of you. That's going over and above. So that's, we appreciate it.
Just so you know.
If every member would do what Linda and Brent Fulmer and a few others have done, the ranks would be.
There's quite a few of the members that when they come and spend, you know, spend their week in the cabin, they gave it a lot better shape when they got there. But we need more members to be that way.
Well, I thought of a program too. Is you know how they have Adopt the Highway? We can have an Adopt the Cabin.
We've done that. We've done that before too.
One of our biggest problems at the cabin.
People. Okay, I'll adopt it, and then some of them just go overboard and really do it, and then others don't do a thing. So
one of the biggest problems we have with the cabins themselves is the screens. People are hard on screens, and that's not a good thing.
Did we ever talk to Joe Nuttall?
We
were
going to
get a bunch of them rescreened.
Well, he does it every year.
If anything, you want to take care of the screens because that's what keeps the insects
out. But you know what? Exactly. Let's make a notice, though. Somehow we need to make a notice to the members, you know, in an annual deal or whatever, that, you know, we're having problems with the screens. And
is there a guidebook behind you there? One of those green guidebooks on that table behind you? I made those up, and in that, you know, it's underneath.
Oh.
It's a green folder.
Like this. Yeah, there is.
I made those up for all of the cabins too, and it's got information in them. And I have one on my computer to put in it that they've all been rescreened. And that was before Joe. He ended up being flighted to St. George too. How did that go on? Please. Anyway, he's back and doing a lot better. He's still on oxygen, but I think he will still do the screens. And in that book there, when I confirm a reservation, I ask them to look for the guidebook and to read it, you know, because there's, and not only that, I put maps of the Dixie Forest and that ride that you took through Red Canyon. I got maps for all of that, and they'll go in the cabins in spring when we open up and everything. So I've got those at home ready to do.
I hate to see it come to that, but we maybe have to do like they do, like when you go rent a car, you know, you need to
check out.
And maybe we need to have a checklist of half a dozen items, you know, so they're not checking. And screen is one, because screens and windows. Yeah. Windows and screens.
If things are damaged, then you got to pay for it. Because
these screens is something that's done at least once a year.
And there was a complaint about, well, either that or just decide that that's part of the $25 reservation fee. Put it up to $30, and then that covers any screen.
Well, I don't think that's fair, because then I'm paying for somebody that's not taking care of the kids.
Yes. I mean, there's no reason in the world.
People should pay for their own damage.
To break a screen. You're not going to break a screen accidentally.
If you know that one's broken, we had that happen at the beginning of the year with cabin 2 and the windows. Kendi came up and she said there's a broken window in one of the bedrooms. And that was about a month later is when we came up and stayed to work on mice. And I can see why they broke. Those bad windows, you know.
Most of the broken screen that we've seen over the years has been because of removal to get into the cabin.
Exactly.
They bend them and they don't put them back in.
And that's exactly right.
Who can go police that though? I mean, when they do the cleanup, and I don't know, because I haven't been in touch out here. I mean, I stayed in this cabin 25 years ago, but when they check out with the cabin, is there somebody coming in here?
That's what I'm saying. You have a real sharp checkout
list. Yeah.
So when our management comes back, we stock the cabin and stuff, they need to check those certain items before the next party comes in. A bit more work on that.
It isn't that much. It should be anyway.
I mean, the management
should be in there checking those things anyway.
Yeah.
Let's put that on. That's good.
Between.
Yeah. But
the other possibility.
That's not happening.
No, it's not.
And
needs to happen.
The cabins aren't getting stocked well either.
It needs to happen. That's what I'm saying.
I believe, and I've talked with Larry a lot about this, I believe it's all because they really have been trained.
Yeah, I agree.
How it needs to be done. So whoever ends up being over the cabins, I've got a long list of things.
We can create a form.
Yes.
Hadn't they considered a refundable deposit at one time? Like if
we
25
have.
Is non-refundable automatically,
right.
But if you tacked on a refundable deposit, it's just mail and a little bit of typewriter time or letter time. If
then it's the check for 25, we'll hold it and send it back to you when we're done.
Stock
I don't know if I like that idea, though. Because that just puts so much more work on you.
It's a lot more work on me.
I would just assume see that
members should know if this is their property.
Oh,
if they break it,
you bet.
And if we do it, if we do it where we require people to not do it with a check and do it with a credit card, we already have their credit card number on file. We just go ahead and charge it. So if they cause damage, there's your damage.
Yeah,
you see it in your bill.
I mean, without your credit card, it goes onto your account. And come September, if they haven't taken care of this damage bill, hey, you know, before you can pass it out, you need to get your.
And I've put that on the confirmation letters too that there is a cleaning fee and I can add that, you know.
That any damage. That's another big one too. Is just people leaving cabins as a mess. But again, that has to be checked.
Yeah. Well, if you got this checklist too, and you give it to the members as they come up here, you say, hey, you better double check it too. So just in case the management hasn't checked it out, and they come up here, and they don't catch it, then they're responsible.
I put this in every cabin too, and that's the cleanup list. Yeah. We know what our expectations are for cleanup. And I put down here.
And normally we've had something like this in the cleanup bucket. And you just go and
use the
bucket.
Yeah, but the buckets aren't happening.
Which, I know. That's usually posted where everybody
can use it.
They were actually working.
But this I made up in pink. I told Ole, I said, leave them in Canada. Leave them on the table. Don't leave them anywhere else. Leave them on the table. When they get there, then they're there. They know what the expectations are if they can read. And I tell them in the letter to read it because otherwise they'll be charged a cleaning fee if it's not cleaned up. So.
But maybe on that thing there, Linda, you can put it there. Please, you know, notice for any damage or, you know, and report immediately when you're charged.
Right.
You know.
Well,
broken window screens, doorknobs, broken doorknobs.
This is your ranch and your cabin. Take good care of it. Assessments pay for replacing items lost or stolen from the cabin. Assessments feed budget that pays the damages of the cabin. Or, if no damages occur, assessments pay for improvements. Please be careful with screens, windows, doors, draperies, beds, and kitchen equipment. Treat the cabins like it's your home, and any repairs you see that are needed, fix it. Go for it. So, anyway, but I'll put on there for next year the cleaning fee. I think there was some question as to actually what a cleaning fee was, what damages and that sort of thing are, but I'll go through and do that and then just make new ones for next year anyway because they need to be redone because they've been used. But
the fee just reminded me of something else. Did you do anything on those the gravel pit fee? The list I gave you after that meeting last month. When you were leaving, I gave you a paper that had the name of probably 7 or 8 members that had gotten gravel for private use.
I did not. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Can you remember me giving you that when you and Carrie were in the car?
I remember you showing it.
I've seen it.
I saw it, and we came up but I don't know what happened to it afterwards.
So.
You guys were leaving to get back for...
I will look. I didn't do anything on it.
Okay.
I will look. I don't remember it. But
that was just a list. Alan Seed kept track of
work that he did for other people.
And it, you know, we're charging them 50 cents per ton. Material coming out of it as a reclamation fee to help clean up the pit area.
And it was my job to send them a letter.
Same place.
Yeah,
just
with the amount.
Come up. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't see the machinery there.
If you had
it all out,
it was.
Are we going to occasionally screen that area and run that in or are
just getting ready to leave? And I just caught you
digging the mountain.
You said,
well, that's what we've been doing for the last few years is digging the mountain and screening it. Hand screening it.
So we screen it out every once in a while?
Send a letter.
Well, as a ranch, we haven't done it to one time. That was crushed.
I know the BLM asked us to have a letter that Ole could give to the people to take to the BLM to say it was okay to use the gravel.
Right.
That was
I talked to the BLM guys and I said we're getting, you know, we're making a huge bureaucratic process. We're not going to have, their fear was that we would have non-members coming in to get permits out of the gravel pit to haul, you know. And I said nobody's going to haul gravel from our pit to St. George.
That ain't gonna happen.
So anybody that's coming in to buy permits,
they're members.
You know, yeah, most likely they're going to be members. So Doug Powell was who I was working with. On
that. Is that the list?
No.
That's
Now it's on, it's written on some kind of a receipt form. It's actually Alan Steed's.
Oh, then yes, I do have it. That's the other black ox, blue ox, on the blue ox form.
It's not a full size page. It's about a half size receipt thing.
Well, then I do have that. I know where that is. And
that's probably what threw you off then, isn't it?
Hmm?
That's probably
what's, yeah, I would think that was part of this
trade deal.
When I looked at it again. When my husband gets bent on doing something, my mind goes in his direction, so I'm sorry.